1 Kings 5 through 6. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon, when he heard that they had anointed him king in the place of his father, for Hiram had always been a friend of David. Then Solomon sent word to Hiram, saying, "You know that David my father was unable to build a house for the name of the Lord his God, because of the wars which surrounded him, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has secured me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. So behold, I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, just as the Lord spoke to David my father, saying, 'Your son whom I will put on your throne in your place, he will build the house for my name.' Now then, issue orders that they cut cedars from Lebanon for me, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will give you wages for your servants in accordance with all that you say. For you yourself know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." When Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he greatly rejoiced, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord today, who has given to David a wise son over this great people." So Hiram sent word to Solomon, saying, "I have heard the message which you sent me. I will do everything you wish concerning the cedar and juniper timber. My servants will bring the timbers down from Lebanon to the sea, and I will have them made into rafts to go by sea to the place where you direct me. And I will have them broken up there, and you will carry them away. Then you shall do what I wish, by giving food to my household." So Hiram gave Solomon all that he wished of the cedar and juniper timber. Solomon then gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, and 20 cores of pure oil. This is what Solomon would give Hiram year by year. And the Lord gave wisdom to Solomon, just as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a covenant. Now King Solomon conscripted forced laborers from all Israel, and the forced laborers numbered 30,000 men. Then he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They were in Lebanon for a month, and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was in charge of the forced laborers. Now Solomon had 70,000 porters, and 80,000 stone masons in the mountains, besides Solomon's 3,300 chief deputies who were in charge of the project and ruled over the people who were doing the work. Then the king issued orders, and they quarried large stones, valuable stones, to lay the foundation of the house with cut stones. So Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the Gebalites cut the stones, and they prepared the timbers and the stones to build the house. Now it came about, in the 480th year after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the 4th year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, that is the 2nd month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord was 60 cubits in its length, and 20 cubits in its width, and its height was 30 cubits. The porch in front of the main room of the house was 20 cubits in length, corresponding with the width of the house, and its width along the front of the house was 10 cubits. Also for the house he made windows with artistic frames. Against the wall of the house he built stories encompassing the walls of the house, around both the main room and the inner sanctuary. So he made side chambers all around. The lowest story was 5 cubits wide. The middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide. For on the outside he made offsets in the wall of the house all around, so that the beams would not be inserted into the walls of the house. The house, while it was being built, was built of stone finished at the quarry, and neither hammer nor axe nor any iron tool was heard in the house while it was being built. The doorway for the lowest side chamber was on the right side of the house, and they would go up by a winding staircase to the middle story, and from the middle to the third. So he built the house and finished it, and he covered the house with beams and planks of cedar. He also built the stories against the whole house, each 5 cubits high, and they were attached to the house with timbers of cedar. Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, As for this house which you are building, if you will walk with my statutes, and execute my ordinances, and keep all my commandments by walking in them, then I will fulfill my word with you, which I spoke to David your father, and I will dwell among the sons of Israel, and I will not abandon my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. He built the walls of the house on the inside with boards of cedar. From the floor of the house to the ceiling, he paneled the walls on the inside with wood, and he paneled the floor of the house with boards of juniper. He also built 20 cubits on the rear part of the house, with boards of cedar from the floor to the ceiling. He built them for it on the inside as an inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. The house, that is, the main room in front of the inner sanctuary, was 40 cubits long. There was cedar inside the house, carved in the shape of gourds, and open flowers. Everything was cedar. There was no stone visible. Then he prepared an inner sanctuary inside the house in order to place there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in width, and 20 cubits in height, and he overlaid it with pure gold. He also paneled the altar with cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, and he extended the chains of gold across the front of the inner sanctuary, and he overlaid it with gold. He overlaid the entire house with gold, until all the house was finished. Also, the entire altar which was by the inner sanctuary he overlaid with gold. And in the inner sanctuary he made 2 cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. The one wing of the first cherub was 5 cubits, and the other wing of the first cherub was 5 cubits. From the end of one wing to the end of the other wing were 10 cubits. The second cherub was 10 cubits. Both of the cherubim were of the same measurement and of the same form. The height of the one cherub was 10 cubits. So was that of the other cherub. He placed the cherubim in the midst of the inner house, and the wings of the cherubim spread out so that the wing of the one was touching the one wall, and the wing of the other cherub was touching the other wall, and their wings were touching end to end in the center of the house. He also overlaid the cherubim with gold. Then he carved all the surrounding walls of the house with engravings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, for the inner and outer sanctuaries. And he overlaid the floor of the house with gold, for the inner and outer sanctuaries. And for the entrance of the inner sanctuary, he made doors of olive wood, the lintel, and 5-sided doorposts. So he made 2 doors of olive wood, and he carved on them carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold. And he overlaid the cherubim and the palm trees with gold. So too he made for the entrance of the main room 4-sided doorposts of olive wood, and 2 doors of juniper wood, the 2 leaves of the one door turned on pivots, and the 2 leaves of the other door turned on pivots. He carved on it cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and he overlaid them with gold, plated on the carved work. And he built the inner courtyard with 3 rows of cut stone and a row of cedar beams. In the 4th year, the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, in the month of Ziv. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, that is, the 8th month, the house was finished in all its parts and in accordance with all its plans. So he was 7 years in building it. Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, 2 men suddenly stood near them in gleaming clothing, And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why are you seeking the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead." And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11, and to all the rest. Now these women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe the women. Nevertheless, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. And when he stooped and looked in, he saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. And behold, on that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, which was 60 stadia from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they came to a stop, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you possibly the only one living near Jerusalem who does not know about the things that happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "Those about Jesus, the Nazarene, who proved to be a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. But also, some women among us left us bewildered. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And so some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And then he said to them, 'You foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. And so they strongly urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward the evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it came about, when he had reclined at the table with them, that he took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it and began giving it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were our hearts not burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?' And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and those who were with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen, and has appeared to Simon.' They began to relate their experiences on the road, and how he was recognized by them at the breaking of the bread. Now, while they were telling these things, Jesus himself suddenly stood in their midst, and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' But they were startled and frightened, and thought that they were looking at a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you frightened, and why are doubts arising in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you plainly see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and astonishment, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They served him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. Now he said to them, 'These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture, and he said to them, So it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising God. Jude 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all time handed down to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into indecent behavior and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, though you know everything once and for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper dwelling place, these he has kept in eternal restraints under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these angels indulged in sexual perversion and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these people also, dreaming, defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak abusively of angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him an abusive judgment, but said, The Lord rebuke you. But these people disparage all the things that they do not understand, and all the things that they know by instinct. Like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have given themselves up to the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the ones who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear. Like shepherds caring only for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, churning up their own shameful deeds like dirty foam, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these people that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord has come with many thousands of his holy ones, to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, In the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Proverbs 24:13-26. My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is the same for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in ambush, you wicked person, against the home of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. For a righteous person falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of disaster. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart rejoice when he stumbles. Otherwise the Lord will see and be displeased, and turn his anger away from him. Do not get upset because of evildoers, or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no future for the evil person. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not get involved with those of high rank, for their disaster will rise suddenly. And who knows the ruin that can come from both of them? These also are sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good. One who says to the wicked, "You are righteous," people will curse him, nations will scold him. But for those who rebuke the wicked, there will be delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. One who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, you will be happy, and it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Within your house, your children like olive plants, around your table. Behold, for so shall a man who fears the Lord be blessed. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.